Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you would like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We did have a special program lined up today. Josh McDowell was going to be a guest, and we were going to talk about the elephant that's in the room here in America and in many churches, and that's the pornography addiction. We connected with him, and he said we needed to reschedule it at a later date. So that's forthcoming, and we're really excited to bring the information that he's done extensive research on and has some very enlightening things to say and some really helpful solutions for people. So that's down the road. So if you were tuned in hoping to hear Josh today, you'll get to hear him on a later date. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to talk about love.
That's a good thing to talk about.
Because love is the answer to all of these things. In a world where we've substituted lust for love and imagination for truth and fantasy for reality, it's time for us to get back to what real, authentic, genuine love is. And there's no way to really know what that's all about until we go to God, the originator of love, the source of love, the one who is indeed love itself. And so on Monday's broadcast, we talked about the fact that love is patient. We have this marvelous definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, and it starts out with those three words, love is patient. And as we mentioned, that word patient is not an adjective. That's how we would label it in our English classes today. But when you look at the underlying Greek, you recognize that it is a present tense active verb. So God is suffering long with us, and there's a reason for that, because his patience means salvation. And today we're going to pick up with the next phrase in the definition, the fact that love is kind. Again, the word kind in the Greek is a present tense active verb. It's not an adjective as we would look at it in our translation. So this is a verb. So what does it mean to be kind? Well, it means to do something on behalf of somebody else for their good, for their well-being, for their benefit. That's what kindness is as far as the Bible is concerned. So how was God kind to us? And I think we're going to see a lot of incredible things in the Word of God to show that his kindness is really his act to save us. There's a wonderful passage back in Titus chapter 3. It says this: at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasure. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So what does kindness mean to us? It means salvation. It's God's act in Jesus Christ to renew us, to wash us, to cleanse us, and to give us new birth, new life in Jesus Christ. That's what his kindness is all about.
Yeah.
Now, what better act of kindness could you ever receive than the gift of salvation given to you in Christ Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, we talk a lot here, and we have in the last couple of weeks in particular, talked about God's initiative. There it is. Kindness is God's initiative.
Yes, indeed. And there's another passage that I think is very interesting. It's in the book of Romans, Romans 2. His kindness leads us to repentance. So, you know, we're always talking about the fact that, hey, you need to repent of that. You need to repent. You need to repent. Well, we forget about the other aspect of that verse, that his kindness is the very thing that leads us to repentance. So when we understand the kindness, when we see him, God himself, rolling up his sleeves to act on our behalf, it moves us. It changes our minds. It changes our thinking. It moves us to the center of what he has involved for us or in mind for us. And that's what repentance is. So that's a response to the very kindness of God. Not the fact that he's a kind, gentle God, but the fact that he acts in kindness toward us. And there's a big difference, isn't
there?
Very
large. Yeah, I love what C.S. Lewis had to say about that in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when he's talking about Aslan. He says, Aslan is not a tame lion. Well, our God isn't a tame lion, but he is the definition of kindness. I don't know how to put those together, but they're both true.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So if you are a believer in Christ, it's because God showed kindness to you. And like we said on yesterday's broadcast, I want you to think about that kindness. I want you to think about how much you needed the kindness of God and allow that really to soak in. And then trust the Holy Spirit to work that kind of kindness in you to be carried out through you into the lives of others. They need acts of kindness. In this world, the world needs, people need acts of kindness. They don't need just kind people who, you know, will pat them on the head and say, you know, go about your business, take care. They need folks who will roll up their sleeves and get involved with them. I think of our good friend Ed Hecht, and Ed many years ago picked my visitor's card out of a, you know, a stack of 200 from First Baptist Church down in Dallas, Texas. He called me up, he came and visited me, and we sat down and we talked about the Lord, and he introduced me to this ministry, and he's the reason that I'm a part of this ministry today. But he was a guy that always acted in kindness. He always rolled up his sleeves and helped people. He would go to their homes. He would call them. He would do all sorts of things. Why? Because that's what love does. And he was compelled by the love of God, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, and that's what he did. He was kindness in action. And whenever I think of this phrase, love is kind, I always think about Ed Hecht. And you know, as we're talking about Ed passed away a number of years ago, and just recently we received the gift from his estate to perpetuate this ministry through this broadcast and through the various channels. So we're very grateful for Ed. He's left a rich legacy of faith, and he's a stellar example of the love of God flowing through an individual into the lives of others, acting, doing things that are a benefit to them.
Yeah, wonderful old saint, as was Ed. Plenty of open lines right now. As Bob mentioned, our program yesterday, we had technical difficulties, and I think our staff actually had to take heroic measures just to get the program on the air. So that accomplished, but the phones were not active yesterday. They are open and open to you today. So give us a call if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, or that number, 844-322-2742, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard, as we approach the end of this fiscal year, which we, of course, do in 9 days on the 30th of this month, something very exciting has happened. Tell us about this challenge, matching gift challenge that we've received.
Well, we have a year-end goal of $199,510. We're about $50,000 into that goal. So I know that last week there's going to be a lot of activity, and we're certainly praying for that. In the meantime, I got a call from a friend of the ministry, and he said, I want to help meet that goal. And so I am going to give a $25,000 matching mm-hmm. challenge gift. And what that means is for any gift that you give today, whether it's $100, $500, $1,000, the impact of that gift doubles immediately because of this $25,000 matching gift.
Yeah.
So we encourage people to take advantage of this opportunity. Double your impact today. So your gift of $100 is really $200. Your gift of $500 is $1,000, and so on. So I can multiply in multiples of two.
You do that
that's my math prowess right there. But we want as many people to join in this challenge as possible to set the table for July 1, because what happens in these next 9 days will really kind of direct how we're going to operate in the next in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
So give generously so that others can be connected to the love of Jesus Christ. There is a reality that people are longing for, an authenticity that people are missing. And it's all there for them in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is what people are longing for. So when you give, you're being a part of the solution. You're not being a part of the problem. You're one that has recognized the problem and is saying, I want to offer a solution. I want to do it in my sphere of influence. I want to do it by contributing to Basic Gospel. So take a stand, be a part of the solution, introduce the world to the only solution there is, the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And you can do that by clicking donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. And when you do, with your gift of $20 or more this month, we're going to send you a copy of Bob's wonderful CD series. It's called Love Is. I know you're going to benefit from that. So take advantage of the opportunity. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Well, guys, a question from Jay, who writes to us from Illinois. He says, just wanted to respond to a previous question on the birth of Jesus. He says, I think the caller was wondering about the blood of Mary. Since she would have been tainted with sin, how could her blood have been a part of a perfect Jesus? He goes on to say, I have heard that the blood of the mother never actually enters into the embryo. The blood is only from the father. So in the case of Christ, the blood of his father was perfect, and thus Jesus would not have been affected by the blood of Mary. Do you agree with that?
Well, all I'm going to say to that is what the Bible says. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and Mary was a virgin. Hers was a borrowed tomb, a womb, basically. Not a tomb, a womb.
Yeah.
He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but he also had a borrowed womb as far as Mary was concerned. So when he came into this world, when he was born in sinless perfection.
Yes.
There was an innocence about him. He did not experience what we experienced when we were born into this world. We came in a fallen state. He came in a perfect state. That's why the Bible calls him the second Adam. And he lived in without sin. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin, as the writer of Hebrews said. Mm-hmm. He walked in perfect love. That's how he lived a sinless life. He lived in dependence upon his Father. So the things that he did, that was the Father working in and through him. The things that he spoke, that was the Father speaking his words in and through Jesus. So Jesus walked in dependence upon his Father and lived in perfect love toward his fellow man. And that's what enabled him to become the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world once and for all. So he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That means he comes into the world not in a fallen state, but in a perfect state as God created Adam and Eve. He lived perfectly, and he became the perfect sacrifice that God was satisfied with so that we could have forgiveness and life in him.
Absolutely. But Jay, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Friends, as I've said so many times, we love getting your questions by email if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live. So you can drop us an email. Address it to us at bob@basicgospel.net. We would love to hear from you. We would love to address your question on a later edition, a near future edition of Basic Gospel. So again, bob@basicgospel.net. That's the address to send it to. 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines right now, plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to address your question or discuss your particular topic on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher's here. Richard Piper's here. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you are. Again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. Question from Robert, who listens online. He says, why do pastors always use 1 John 1:9? It seems that every time you sin, you will go to hell unless you confess your sin. Can you explain?
Great question. 1 John 1:9, for many, it's the Christian bar of soap. So you sin. When you sin, you're now dirty. You apply that verse, and that becomes a bar of soap to cleanse you again. You're back into fellowship, back into God's good graces, and then you repeat often. Why? Because you sin,
yeah.
And then you have to get the bar of soap out again, and you're cleansed again, you're back into God's good graces, then you sin again, and the cycle just keeps going and going and going. You read on those, shampoo bottles, pour some, wash, lather up, rinse, and repeat.
Yep.
That's the whole process with 1 John 1:9. So what does the verse actually mean? Well, it says if you confess your sins, then he is faithful and just and to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's what the verse says. Well, it's in context. I think our problem is that we pull that verse out of context and try to make it say something that it doesn't really say. But when you put it back into context, you see that John is addressing some very specific issues. He is addressing people who are claiming to be without sin. So if somebody's claiming to be without sin, he says that they're deceiving themselves and the truth is not in them. Well, is that a Christian or a non-Christian?
It has to be a non-Christian.
A non-Christian, if the truth is not in a person, that means they're not saved. The truth comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That truth has a name, Jesus Christ. He comes to live inside of us through the agency of the Holy Spirit. So as believers, we have truth living inside of us, and we're certainly not denying our own sinfulness.
No.
We agreed to that. We admitted to that. That's why we saw our need for a Savior. That's how we learned about our need for a Savior. We saw our own wretchedness, our own sinfulness, and we said, Lord, have mercy on us. And we received the mercy of God. So that was verse 8, people claiming to be without sin. And then in verse 10, they're doing the same thing. But in that, John says, they're making God out to be a liar. So they're saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. You don't. So you say I'm a sinner. I say I'm not. I'm saying you're lying about me. I'm the one that knows the truth.
Uh-huh.
And so John, in apostolic fashion, mm-hmm. Extends an invitation.
Yes.
He says, we want you to be a part of this fellowship. We want you to be a part of this new life that we have in Jesus. And for you who are denying your sin, if you'll just admit it. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to or not. That's the big question. That's the doubt. But if you do, you're going to find God to be faithful and just. I mean, he's faithful and just. And when you admit your own sinfulness, you're going to see that to be true. And how does he show his faithfulness and his justice? And the fact that he forgives and cleanses. And you can receive that forgiveness and that cleansing that he provided through his shed blood at the cross. So if you know somebody that is denying their own sinfulness, this is the passage you take them to. And it's a wonderful evangelical passage. And why I believe and why we believe that this is to a lost person is because John changes his tone going into the second chapter. So in the first chapter, it's kind of a general we that he uses, and then he changes his tone going into the second chapter, and he says, now I'm writing to you little children. So if you read 1 John, as you go through, you will notice some errors that John is addressing. First, people were denying that Jesus came in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Well, all of this is a forerunner to what we now know as Gnosticism. So spirit is good, flesh is evil. If you hold to that premise, then Jesus couldn't have come in the flesh.
No.
Well, if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, where's the gospel message? He couldn't have died physically to take away our sins. He couldn't have been buried, and he couldn't have been physically raised. All hope is gone. All gospel is gone if Jesus didn't come in the flesh. The other thing is they denied the reality of sin. So all throughout this letter, you see these two errors creeping up and John addressing them. And in the first chapter, he addresses the fact that we're not without sin. So we just need to admit the truth, agree with God, and when we do, we're going to find him to be faithful and just, to forgive and to cleanse. So it's a passage to an unbeliever. There's some other aspects of that verse as well. You know, there's light and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the darkness, lost. Now that we're saved, we're in the light, saved. So it's a binary thing. If you're lost, you're in the darkness. If you're saved, you're in the light.
Yeah.
And that equates to, if you're lost, you're out of fellowship with God. If you're saved, you're in the fellowship. And once you're saved, you can't get out of fellowship with God. You're just in.
Yeah.
Why? Because he bought you with a price. Mm-hmm. He bought you with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When you trusted him, you now belong. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You're in the hands of Jesus. You're in the hands of God. No one can snatch you out. You are in the fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son.
Absolutely. Robert, great question. Thank you for dropping that email to us.
Let's go to New Britain, Connecticut, and talk with Samuel. Hi, Samuel. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to be quick. I know the broadcast is about to end. I think the topic today is about saying it's about pornography being a barrier to faith in Christ. Is that correct?
Yes, that's a quote from Josh McDowell. He thinks it's the pornography is the greatest barrier to faith in Jesus in this world today, and I think there's some real validity to that statement.
Yes, and what I wanted to share was that. Just as you were discussing, I think most folks would go, including myself in the earlier days, we would go into denying sin because of fear of punishment. And this way, we kind of like saying, well, we didn't do it, we didn't mean to do it, and it's kind of like saying, please don't punish me. And I think with that alone, we go into denial mode. As far as pornography is concerned, I was introduced into pornography from a very early age, walking into a gas station, and then I saw the books hanging on the shelves, and I thought, well, why don't I try to see if I can buy it? And I bought it, and from then on, I was hooked. And later on in life, I found out that I was using pornography as a coping mechanism. Whenever I found myself really stressed out, I would try to do something that's somewhat totally illogical, in a sense, to see if I could relieve myself of some stress. And it wasn't until I got married that God somewhat relieved me of this wish for enticement. And from then on, from knowing the truth, I would say, I no longer relied or become dependent on pornography like somebody would become dependent of cocaine or alcohol. I no longer become dependent of those things to be relieved of my stresses. And I think as you said, the truth did set me free.
Well, that's exactly
what made the difference.
Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus promised. Yes. The truth sets us free, and free from addictions like pornography, free from all sorts of things. But we have to be willing to come to that truth, Samuel, and that's what you did. The love of God, the life of Christ Jesus drew you near, and in drawing you near, you were able to lay it all on the table, and you were able to see that Christ took away your sins once and for all. And now he set you free from that fear of punishment, and you can walk in confidence that God is actually for you, not against you,
Amen.
And that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So, Samuel, thank you for weighing in on today's topic. Thank you for your testimony. We just love hearing how the Word of God is setting people free. So, Samuel, thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. And, friends, we want to remind you also that when you help Basic Gospel reach our fiscal year-end goal with a gift of $20 or more this month, in the next 9 days, as a matter of fact, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's excellent CD series, Love Is. Now, through this series, you'll discover that God's love never fails. That's an important thing. Love Is. It's yours for your generous gift of $20 or more this month to Basic Gospel. Simply click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Again, that's basicgospel.net or 844-412-2742. Request your copy today and help us connect more people like you and your family to the love of Jesus Christ. Well, we're glad that you were with us today for Basic Gospel. And for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll be here. Hope you will too. Bye-bye.